For those who are gathering with us at home, we're certainly glad that you are with us to partake with us in heart and in spirit. As you look through life in general, there are storms. And we're not talking about the ones that you see outside in God's creation, but the ones that happen within our own lives. And we need to realize that storms are guaranteed. They're coming. We may be even in the midst of them now. And yet, I want you to look at these verses that we're going to cover today. And we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And remember, this is the conclusion to Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Here's what we think of as the Sermon on the Mount. And after he's done all this teaching, this is kind of the concluding thought that covers everything that he said thus far. Look down in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. The comparison that you find here, starting with the wise, is not a matter of whether they heard the words of Jesus. Those who were there on top of the mountain to hear Jesus teach, they had all heard what he said. The question is, what do you do with what Jesus says? Do you act on it? So that is the comparison and the contrast through these four or five verses. So he makes the statement, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, he can be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And he makes this very, very sure that we understand. In verse 25, even if you stand on the rock, even if you've built your house, you've built your life on Jesus, the storms are coming. We're not immune to them just because we follow Jesus' teachings. And so when he makes a statement in verse 25, the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. If you just kind of think about those for a moment, rains, well, that comes from above. Floods, that's what accumulates below you and starts to rise. The wind just hits you in the middle. So the idea is you're being slammed on every side. Now, he makes a statement, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. When your life is founded on the teachings of Jesus, you find stability in the midst of the storm. You find safety. The question is not about, well, how big is the storm? We already have the answer. We already have safety. We already have the guarantee. Notice, here's the term. Here's the comparison, verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. He says, what happens if you take what Jesus is teaching, you hear it audibly, but you have no heart response in your life? You make no application to change and be molded to his teachings. He says, then you're like a foolish person. And by the way, this Greek word for fool is where we get our English word moron. He says, you are being moronic. If you hear these words of mine and you don't respond with your life. Now, it's just what he said. Then, notice, he says, he built his house on the sand. The next time you get the ability to go to a beach, or maybe you've done it before in your life, just stand there where the ocean comes in. Put your feet where the waters come in and go out. You only have to stand there about 30 to 60 seconds. You stand there, and as those waves come in and go out, it will erode the sand from underneath and beside your feet. You realize you're going to have to move pretty quick. And that's just in a matter of seconds. We're not talking about minutes. Some people are ignoring the words of Jesus that they hear, and it erodes their life right then and there. Notice the guaranteed outcome. Look at verse 27. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Notice, if you hear the words of Jesus and you don't respond, storms are coming too. And when the storms come, you see the same picture. Rain falls, flood rise, wind comes whooping through. But I want you to, I'm going to tell you a little detail that you don't get here in the translation. If you notice in verse 27, where it says, and slammed against that house, that's a different word than what was back up in verse 25. I know in the English it reads the exact same, doesn't it? It just says, slammed against that house. Let me tell you the difference. If you notice it, back up earlier in verse 25 when it uses the word slammed, it literally means the rain is going to fall upon you. It means it's just coming. For the fool, whenever the storm comes, the idea is it strikes against your house. You know the difference. Have you ever been out in the rain where you hold the umbrella? When the rain comes down from above you and you got the umbrella, you're going to be okay. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those driving rains where you have the umbrella up here, but you're still getting hit with rain in the face because it is striking against you. There's a difference. I know it's the same English word, but there's a difference. When you're in the safety of Jesus, that you've acted, you've established your life on Jesus and His teachings, when the storms come, they fall on you. You're safe. You're taken care of. You're guaranteed to be able to withstand any storm that comes your way. Because you founded yourself on Jesus and you're going to trust in His ways and going to respond to Him. But if we're going to be fools about it, if we're going to hear the words of Jesus and not respond to them, it's going to strike us and everything is going to be just a big fall. And if you notice the way He puts it, He says, and it fell, and great was its fall. It wasn't just a little bit. It destroys everything in your life. But that happens when we don't respond to the words of Jesus. So you might think in terms, do storms have a purpose? They do. For those who act on the words of Jesus, a reassurance. You are standing in the right place. And you are going to be safe. Hold on tight to Jesus. For those who are going to be foolish, there's another purpose to the storms. It is time to reevaluate what you're doing. It is time to reconsider. And both should be thankful. If we have a reassurance in Jesus, man, and a refinement that comes with it, there should be gratitude. If we see that everything around us is falling in our lives because we're not responding to the words of Jesus, there should be some thankfulness there too, that we get to make those realizations before it's too late. Now, I want you to look over at Matthew chapter 8. Look down at verse 23. Jesus offers this safety through the storm, but so often it goes unthought of, maybe even unrealized. And I want you to notice, faith is what is being tested here. Matthew chapter 8, look down at verse 23. When Jesus got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus Himself was asleep. Interestingly enough, we're not even one chapter later. He told them, storms are coming. Now, this was a physical storm. And I want you to see how they respond. Here's Jesus, and it kind of shows the humanity of Jesus. He's asleep. He's tired. Even though He's God in the flesh, He got tired in that earthly body. He's asleep in this boat as it rocks back and forth. And it's not just any old storm. It's a great storm, and it happens on the sea. And we're on the Sea of Galilee in this story. So that the boat was being covered with the waves. Here's the idea. This boat's being slammed by the wind, by the waves, by the sea. They had just heard, if we'll hold to Jesus and His teachings, we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. It doesn't always mean that our life is going to continue on this earth. But it does mean we're going to be prepared. And we're going to hold to Jesus. Here they were with Jesus. He's asleep. Verse 25. And they came to Him and woke Him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. What did they think about the situation? We're dying. This is it. Now, I want you to notice too, don't think of this thing as being just really small little vessel like a little John boat. If you notice, it says they came to Him. I mean, this is not some little tiny boat. It just say they turned to him if they're in some small little vessel. He says, they came to him and woke him. I don't know how they woke him, but they woke him. And notice the response. Save us. Do you ever get in the midst of a trial in life and just cry out to God, save me? How is this going to work? What's Jesus trying to point us to? Are you holding to my promises and my word? Are you holding to what I have told you? Are you going to be a wise builder or a foolish builder? They're here in the midst of the storm. Do they feel safe? No. They think they're going to die. They think they're going to. They have seen Jesus do miracles. And by the way, Matthew the tax collector is not part of this group. He's not going to be called by Jesus to the next chapter. So whenever you read this account in Matthew, notice, Matthew's not there. Here's what God's Spirit told him to write down along with what the other apostles had told him. Save us, Lord, we're perishing. Verse 26. Now this is very poignant. Jesus said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And notice the question, and notice it real close. He doesn't say, how are you afraid? He says, why are you afraid? You know I'm here. Why? Now, if you read it in the original language, it's a little bit different. He says, why are you cowards, have so little faith? Sometimes in the midst of storms, we become cowards. We become cowards because we're not looking at Jesus. We become cowards because we haven't responded to His Word and we know we don't have a promise to stand. If you read through Hebrews chapter 10, it talks very specifically before you get to chapter 11 about faith. He says, I don't find any pleasure in those who shrink back. He says, why are you afraid? Sometimes in the midst of the storm, that needs to be a question we think of. Why am I afraid here? What is it about Jesus and holding to His teachings that makes me afraid? Why? Then He makes the next statement. Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. Who is the Lord of the storm? Jesus is. You imagine being in this boat, it being so bad that the waves are coming over the sides, and they're starting to splash on you and hit you violently. And if you've ever been hit by water all at once, by waves, I mean, it'll take you back. And it becomes perfectly calm. Do you realize that you serve the Lord over the storms? Hold to His teachings. And you won't have to shrink back through difficulties. I'm not saying there won't be times where we're weak. Those times will be there. And that's a time to look at our faith. And say, have I really put myself completely in Jesus? Have I really responded to what He says? Because then I find safety in the midst of the storm. No matter what the situation in life is, whether it be health, whether it be monetary, whether it be relationships, I'm responding to the words of Jesus. And yet here's Jesus who comes through perfectly calm. Then, verse 27, the men were amazed and said, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now that's the question we should start asking. Who are we dealing with in Jesus? The Lord of the storms. The one who gives us guarantee you will stand when you're slammed by the winds and the waves and the floods. Because you're going to hold to me. Now, through all of these things together, let's take a look at it just a little bit deeper. Go over to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 2. So James writes to those Jews who had been scattered after having been persecuted in Jerusalem. And look at verse 2. We might look at this and think of these kind of questions. What's the goal of trials? When we know that the outcome is guaranteed in Jesus, if we'll respond to His Word and His ways in the midst of difficulties, you know, you think back through all the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, things like to love your enemies, things like to be merciful to others, things about controlling anger, controlling our desires. He says, we start to hone ourselves in to listen to Jesus and respond, even with our emotions. What's really the goal of these difficulties? If we already know the outcome before we even start, whenever we can have this confidence in Jesus and His teachings to hold to them no matter what, you go, it doesn't matter what storms come, I know the Lord of the storms. And He's the one I serve. So I already know the outcome. I don't have to be afraid. Fear doesn't have to control me. So then, what's the real purpose of these things? Because we all have them. Storms are guaranteed. So is the outcome. Verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Can you have an attitude of joy because you already know the outcome of the storm? You already know that your house is going to stand because you're going to respond to the teachings of Jesus in your life. And you're going to hold to them. Think about Jesus' words. Hey, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Keep your word. I know that what I'm going to do is going to respond out of an imitation of Jesus. He says, so consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's what is being refined through the trials. It's your faith. What was the problem of the disciples, the followers on the boat? Why are you afraid? You meant a little faith. What did they need? They needed that storm. They needed that storm to make them ask the question, who is this man who controls the wind and the seas and the storms? You go through trials in your life, they are for the refinement of your faith. And that is that word for testing. It's a metalsmith word. It's about you heat it up and you get the impurities out of it and refine it. And then in the end, it gets stronger and more valuable and precious. He says, and all of a sudden you realize you can endure more than you used to could. Who's that thankful to? The Lord of the storms. The one who gives the guarantee. You hold to my ways. When they come, your house is going to stand because you founded it on the rock, on Jesus. Notice here, he says, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The goal of these trials and storms is to mold us and shape us into the faith of Jesus. His faith. Because He's the Lord of the storm. That's what every single one of these various trials in our lives are about. Refining our faith. I want you to think about it for a moment. When are the times in your lives as Christians that you have grown the most? Was it when times were easy? Or was it in times of trial? We know it's trial. Whenever we held to the teachings of Jesus, endured the trial, and we saw the benefit of it. It gave us a reassurance of the teachings of Jesus. To go, He has provided, He has taken care of me, and there's a gratitude toward Him. And you just see us want to give even more to Him. Now, I want you to think for a moment. If you've ever been to maybe a high school track meet, maybe even a statewide track meet. There are runners who get up there and they run with such endurance. They have practiced. They run so hard that at the end of the finish line, they keep buckets because they have exerted themselves so hard that they throw up at the end. Some of them get just inches beyond the finish line and collapse. Is that what your faith looks like in Jesus? That you run so hard that the parts of you that are not needed are given up? Do you run so hard in the teachings of Jesus that you get to finish the race because you gave everything you had? That's what trials are for. To refine us. You give everything you got. And you find stability in the storm. You find that we figure out our flaws through storms too. And you go, that part of me needs to change to honor this teaching of Jesus. I need to control my emotions and not let them get the best of me. Notice how this continues. Verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you think about wisdom, we think in terms of, okay, the ability to see kind of what's coming. But I want you to think of wisdom this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Through trials, if any of us lacks wisdom, if any of us lacks imitating the faith of Jesus, he says, let him ask of God. And through the trial, God will give you part of His Son. He wants to give Him generously. He is not going to look down upon you because you want to strive to be more like Jesus. So if you see the picture here, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you're not full grown yet, I think we all suffer from that. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is the goal of the trials. To grow to be like Jesus. Then, verse 6. But he must ask in faith. Remember, what's being tested through this trial? It's faith. You have to ask in faith. What does that mean? It means I'm going to respond to the teachings of Jesus. Whenever you get to a trial and a difficulty, and you go, boy, my neighbor hates me. I don't know why they hate me, but they hate me. Jesus says, love your neighbor. All right, that's the teaching of Jesus. I want to have a guaranteed outcome here. That's where I'm going to plant my house, on the rock. I'm going to learn to love them. I'm going to show them mercy. And what do you find? You learn a little bit more about Jesus. How far He was willing to go to be merciful. How far He gave up Himself. Being in the garden and praying with drops like blood being sweat out of His body. Giving Himself so much that He collapses beneath the weight of the cross as He's going out to die at Calvary. And God helps him. He uses Simon of Cyrene to lift it up and take it there so that he can die. That's what he wants to give us. He wants to give us Jesus. That we know that whenever we don't have the strength anymore, he'll give it to us. He'll provide a way for us to be strong through the difficulty. Notice how he continues here. it will be given to him. There's a promise. Verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He says, if you're going to doubt it, if you're going to hear the words of Jesus but not respond in your life, don't expect anything from God. Because the sand is just eroding from underneath your house. And ruin is coming. And that is a guarantee from Jesus. He says, have to ask in faith. And if you notice the way he's talked about, the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. If you ever go out to the sea and watch it, it's not stable. That surf just comes in and goes back out, and comes in and goes back out. And I want you to realize, if you get there close enough on the ocean or a large sea, the undertow will take you back out. Doubting will do you no good. Hearing the words of Jesus with no response will only lead to great ruin. And we will be fools for having not responded. Notice it here. He says, driven and tossed by the wind. That's a life that's not in Jesus to respond to His Word. Whatever the winds of change blow, whichever direction they are, that's what happens in our lives. Do you ever know people who are unstable? And they just waft around from one thing to the next. Have you ever wondered, why do they do that? Why do they have that kind of problem? Life's not founded on Jesus. Not founded on His words. Because Jesus promises stability in the storm. He promises a guaranteed outcome. Because your life is founded on the rock. And He promises, I will refine your faith through the trial. I want you to grow a little bit more like my son. He is the wisdom of God. Then, if you notice how it continues, verse 7, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. That's what he calls the people who climbed up there to the top of the mountain to hear Jesus, only not to respond. On the outside, it looks like they're attentive to Jesus, but in their lives, they just don't respond. He says, that's double-minded. Double-minded person, hate their brother, won't forgive. Hate your own brother, sister in Christ, and won't forgive them. You're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. You're not learning that kind of wisdom from Jesus. Maybe you think of it, you despise your enemy. You're not going to show them any mercy. He says, you're double-minded. And you're going to be unstable. Maybe you think you don't keep your words or your promises. Same things. Unstable. You're going to be driven by every wind. And then you think about, you won't extend that mercy to them. You start thinking through all these things. And I want you to remember, if we're going to be double-minded, expect a great fall. Because it's coming. Storms are coming. That is guaranteed. The outcome is guaranteed as well. If we respond to the ways and the wisdom of Jesus, your house will stand. Your life will stand because it's founded on the rock of Jesus. If we hear the words of Jesus but don't respond, we are fools. And you're about to encounter great ruin. Here and beyond. Who wants to stand before God and say, I'm a moron. I heard your word and I did not respond. It ruined my life. Why was I so foolish? Jesus is the Lord of the storms. In the midst of the storms, you can be guaranteed of the outcome. So whenever you encounter these difficulties, look at Jesus. Look in that mirror and see if the reflection looking back at you is an imitation of Jesus and His teachings. If it is, you're founded on the rock. In Christ. If there's anyone here today, if there's anyone at home, you need to make a move. Make it toward the Lord. Consider your hearts. Have you been wise or foolish in your life? That's what we need to learn.